It's 7 minutes past the hour. Good evening. I'm Walter M. Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. I got an email this week. And when you do a show like this, you get emails from all sorts of public relations people, all sorts of official people sending you emails. But this one caught my eye. I'm going to share this with you. Official statement of the Ethical Society of Police. I didn't even know such a thing existed. After viewing the body cam videos of the beating of Tyra Nichols, we see no justification for the response of these five individuals. Their actions were horrible. They were not police officers at the time of that beating. They were five angry men who took their frustrations out on a helpless, unarmed black man, the father of a four-year-old. These five individuals disgraced the profession like those before them who behaved similarly. You disgrace the badge when you beat up unarmed human beings. You disgrace the badge when you punch defenseless women. You disgrace the badge when you forget why you wear the badge. It's hard enough being a black man in today's society. It's twice as hard being a black police officer in today's society. We, the Ethical Society of Police, condemn the actions of these individuals who brutally beat a black man in the streets as if he were nothing. Beating a human being unmercifully must be met with the highest consequences under the law. And that is from the Ethical Society of Police. Sergeant Donald Walters is president of the Ethical Society of Police. Sergeant Walters, I salute you for writing that letter. I salute your organization for taking a firm stand and getting on it right away. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday, Sergeant Walters.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I have a couple questions for you that'll give you a chance to be of service. Here's the opportunity. Okay. I'm a black father. If I was a black father and I had a 17 or 18-year-old son, by now that son has gotten the speech about what to do if you're stopped by the police, how to behave if you're stopped by the police. But this incident and incidents like it throw all of that into question, because this was a random, insane, freaking insane act. It didn't matter what that victim said or did. These guys were out for it. Now, if you have a 17 or 18-year-old son looking at this horrible video, horrendous video, what do you tell that kid now about here's how you behave when you get stopped by a police officer? What do you tell that kid now?
You know, we are at a crossroads to where when someone that looks like me treats me just as bad, it's hard to come up with the words, because I do have sons. My oldest son is 30. My youngest son is 15. So they've all had the talks. And now it's a different talk, because before it was, for a lack of a better term, black and white. Now it's black and black. With that being said, you know, I've heard different things being said. Again, when I said what I said about, it doesn't matter what his economical status was. It didn't matter what his background was. It shouldn't have mattered what the color of his skin was. He's a human being. At what point do we recognize each other as human beings? Because my job is police officer. My life is not police officer. When I come home, I take the uniform off. I take the badge off. I take the gun off. I don't sit in my house wearing my gun or sitting in my house with the badge just pinned to my pajamas or my favorite sweatshirt. I don't, because that's a life. And what we have to understand is that we have to recognize people as human beings. And I talk with my kids quite often, especially my sons. My son is in New York right now. And before I did an interview yesterday, Tim and I had a long conversation. And he told me something about my own department. Like I said, he's 30. He tells me when he was 16 how he was stopped by an unmarked police car. And it was all black officers that got him out of his car at gunpoint and put him on the ground. And my son said, they asked him, why'd you run? And he says, well, how do I know you're the police? It's the same situation with this young man. As I looked at the video, he gets pinned in. And at no point, no one took a lead. No one took the humane route and says, hold on, let's explain to him what he's done. No, you got five individuals, or how many in the initial video, you got all these different individuals yelling various things at him. And psychologically, if one person is telling him to lay down, the other person saying, put your hands behind your back, the other person says, why did you do this? They're asking him all these different questions, and yet he's trying to appease individuals that's got guns on them. And when he doesn't say the right thing, like, why did he run? When he doesn't put his hands behind his back, or if he doesn't lay flat on his stomach, then somebody's mad. And they take their frustration out or feel like they're being disrespected because they're not being listened to. So now it's more than just saying, hey, stop the car, put all the windows down, put your hands on the steering wheel, turn on the dome light when everybody's yelling at you. You cannot prepare for chaos. And that's what that was, chaos. You had young officers, unsupervised, doing a job that they needed more training. They needed more understanding. I have 20 years on with the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. I've been on the SWAT team. I've been on aggressive units. I've taught at the academy. I teach de-escalation now. And I always tell the young officers, listen first. Treat a person with respect. And it may go a different route.
The great Sergeant Donald Walters, president of the Ethical Society of Police based in St. Louis. The Ethical Society of Police has put out a statement of disgust about what happened in Memphis this week. Sergeant Donald Walters, how does this work? Now these five police officers have killed a citizen. They go back to the station house. Now they're back at the station house, and they're looking at their boss, and their boss says, how was your day? And they look at the boss, and they go, well, we beat up a guy pretty bad. He was taken to the hospital. And the boss looks at them and says, how bad? And they say, well, pretty bad. And the boss goes, why did you do it? Sergeant Walters, how does the conversation go from there? What happens next in that police station?
That is hard to speculate. As a supervisor who supervises young officers, you need to have a conversation before they even get to come back to the station. You have to know your officers. You have to understand your officers. I have young officers right now, and I can look in their face, because you know what I do as a supervisor? I want to know their personal life. How's the relationship going? How's, you know, things with the kids, the wife, the girlfriend, whichever? Because then when they come in and I see they got this 1,000-yard stare, that means something is wrong. It's coincident. Just a while ago, one of my officers that works for me, he just didn't look like himself. And I asked his partner, what's going on with your partner today? And he says, he got some things going on personally. And I said to him, I said, well, here's what I need you guys to do. So I gave them assignments, or I asked them to do things that was less contact with people until he felt comfortable enough to talk to me. And he did. And he says, Sarge, can I just get a moment to myself? Because I'm having some issues. You know what? You're right. So whoever was supervising those young men, when they came back to that station house, you should never have to have that conversation to the degree of what just happened. I can't even imagine, you know, what do you say to me to justify what's going on? And I'm pretty sure it was possibly he resisted or he didn't follow the verbal commands. And, you know, I saw the video. I'm a defensive tactics instructor. And I said this even with George Floyd. There was 5 against 1. George Floyd, there was 4 against 1. Eric Garner, there was 4 against 1. There's always more of us when it comes to taking someone into custody. And at some point, you have to work as a team to safely take a person into custody. Now, if a person is resisting, like violently, you know, thrashing, they're on some type of narcotic, that's different. I saw fear in this young man's eyes.
He was about 150 pounds. He has Crohn's disease. He couldn't defend himself against anybody. That's the fear I saw. You and I are talking to Sergeant Donald Waters, who is the president of the Ethical Society of Police based in St. Louis, based with our great affiliate KMOX in St. Louis. Sergeant Donald Waters, coming up in just seconds, I want to ask you what you think the right course of action is for the Memphis Police Department. My suggested course of action is, wait a minute. I'm a manager. I understand chain of command. I'd fire all of them. There had to be something in that police department that gave them those cops permission in their head to pursue what they were doing. Coming up with Sergeant Donald Waters. And if you want to talk to Sergeant Donald Waters, that would be great. The phone number is 888-688-WALT, appropriate for the sergeant. 888-688-9258. I'm Walter M. Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. And, Sean, you know what? Let's do what we normally do here. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Love triangle. Over a stripper named Caitlin leads to arrest in Pensacola. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female rookie cop's unusual request for her life insurance beneficiary. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
There's fighting, there's biting, there's clawing, there's face tattoos, there's vape shops, and a whole bunch of people on drugs. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Random minor joins adults for a shoplifting escapade at Walmart. The people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
After all these years, arithmetic salvation. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week at the drive-thru brew, a secret shopper came by to inspect the place, and we kind of messed up. You'll see what I mean later on Sterling on Sunday.
It was such a pleasure to have Sergeant Donald Walter from the Ethical Society of Police, which was founded in 1972 by African-American police officers to address race-based discrimination within the community and the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department. And then it was expanded. The Ethical Society of Police of St. Louis welcomes police officers, park rangers, and civilians in law enforcement from all races, nationality, religions, political affiliations, sexual orientations, and gender identities. And that organization completely condemned the actions that took place in Memphis this week, where five officers beat up one guy with Crohn's disease, a four-year-old daughter, and no arms and no record. Daniel, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. Hi.
Good evening. You're welcome for my call.
Yes, I am blessed to have your call.
Now, the Memphis situation, the takeaway from the whole thing is those five cops are horrific. They probably should never have been cops in the first place, and they better get their just desserts. But this whole thing, it should not spark any kind of a national police reform thing like I hear some people commenting on. I mean, we're talking about five guys here, and they sucked, and they should pay for it. The other thing I'm waiting for to come out is there had to be another aspect to this. There had to be some kind of personal beef, because it was so horrific. There has to be some kind of history there. So I guess we'll have to wait and see what the next chapter holds. But those guys should have never have been cops in the first place. It's pretty clear.
This was a young man who liked skateboarding, and his hobby was photographing sunsets. He had Crohn's disease.
Yeah, I know, but no matter who the victim was, these guys should never have been cops. This guy did not deserve it.
You and I are in complete agreement. Absolutely complete agreement. They should have never been cops. Also, the other thing I agree with you on, there should be no federal reform of police, because that would not have stopped this. These guys were satanic. They were evil. They were walking evil. No law, no regulations, no police reform would have ever stopped this, because anybody who could think that this was okay on any level, no law would touch him. And I completely agree with you, Daniel. And I say, even though Sergeant Donald Walters did not agree with me, I say the entire management of the Memphis Police Department should be fired. Because
I don't agree with that either. I mean, their managers, I'm quite certain, would have never condoned this, from the sergeants, lieutenants, chiefs on up. I don't think any of them would have condoned this. So I don't think they should be held accountable. I don't think they would have guessed that these guys would ever have been capable of this. Now, if they did, that would be another thing. But there's no way. These guys just need to take responsibility for themselves and themselves alone.
Oh, and thank you for the call, Daniel. They will not take any responsibility. Already two of these idiots said that they were not guilty. Are you out of your mind? How much clearer could it be than that police cam video, than the video that they got off a camera on a pole? They got from a telephone pole, they got surveillance video. They have video from their own vests. It's pretty darn clear cut. 888-688-9258. 888-688-9258. I've spent a lot of time in Memphis. I have done business in Memphis. And let me share with something about Memphis that you only know if you've done business there. It's the most racist city in America. It is one of the angriest cities in America, because the dichotomy between Graceland and Beale Street and Sun Records, between Graceland, Beale Street, and Sun Records is garbage. The city is a dump. It is a dangerous place. You drive through Memphis, every neighborhood, what do you see? Iron bars on every window of every home, iron gates on the front door of every home. It's a dangerous place, and it is a 100% segregated city. If you own a white business in Memphis, all the money that's going to flow to you will be from the white community. And if you own a black business in Memphis, all the money that's going to flow to you will be from the black community. And the radio stations in Memphis that happen to be owned by African Americans, that happen to be black-owned businesses, promote the fact on the air that we want businesses from the community. Over and over, those of you in the community, be sure to support these advert. And I'm like, what are you talking about, the community? And then I realized what they were talking about. It is a segregated society, and it is an angry society, and it is the place where Dr. Martin Luther King was murdered. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. There's nobody in America who's going to think that what happened in Memphis to that young man by five vicious, huge cops and maybe two firemen is okay. No one can look at that video and think it's okay. His mother hasn't looked at it yet. I hope she never does. I hope not one relative or friend of his ever sees that video. It's an American tragedy of epic proportions. Coming up, we're going to go where crime is much less serious and much rarer. We're going to go to Alaska, and Ken Fons, our DoorDash driver in Alaska, has an update on things going on in Alaska. Yes, it's a big shift, but heck, we have to move on. 888-688-WALT is my phone number. This is a live radio show coast to coast on giant radio stations like KMOX and KDKA and KMBZ, run by the brilliant Alan First. This is Sterling on Sunday. We had on Sergeant Donald Walter of the Ethical Society of Police of St. Louis, and his organization completely condemned what took place in Memphis this week, when a 24-year-old guy with a 4-year-old daughter weighing about 100 pounds got beat up by five so-called cops. There isn't a person in America who's going to say, yeah, that was okay. It wasn't okay. Brute, welcome to Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-9258. Hello, Brute.
Hello?
Hello.
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Is your radio on?
No.
Okay, I can hear you fine.
Okay, good. I just wanted to comment on maybe a good theory for what those cops did was they, and this is in good timing because there could be a test to confirm this, that they might have all been smoking dope at some point while on duty, and they got stoned, and that's how they handled that situation.
I thought getting stoned made you calmer.
Well, who knows how you react to situations when you're high? But they could do a blood test, because marijuana stays in your blood system for what, 2 weeks after you smoke?
Thank God, so I don't know.
If they all have come up with the same results, positive, then that's your reason why.
Brute,
because you're
thank
not
you very much
for when you're hot.
Yeah, thank you very much for your call. I don't think you get stoned and beat people up. I thought you got stoned, sat in the corner, and wanted to have sex with a hippie. Keith, our DoorDash driver in Alaska, in North Pole, Alaska. Keith, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Keith calls in every week with a report from Alaska. And the reason we do this is not only is Keith remarkably articulate, but I don't hear any other talk show in the United States even mention Alaska, much less have a living, breathing reporter from Alaska. Keith, what is the big story in Alaska this week? Welcome, my friend.
Hey, good evening. So I wanted to talk about, because I know it's on the subject of a lot of people, but is the food cost and how it's rising and how shelves are empty. I know in the lower 48, I've been seeing a lot of things about it, but I wanted to explain to people, like, here in Alaska, we are much different. We are cut off from the lower 48. We're not, like, attached. We're attached to Canada, but all of our goods has to be shipped in, flown in. Like, there's a lot of villages here. The only way they get food and stuff like that is if it's brought in by snowmobile or by plane. And it's just, it's getting ridiculous that the price of food nowadays are almost double. It's pretty bad when I can take my family of five and we can go eat at McDonald's, and it's cheaper than going to the store and buying a meal to go home and cook.
How much is a dozen eggs?
Well, that's a sore subject right now. About one day a week, we actually have access to eggs here. The other 6 days, pretty much the shelves are empty. But when you can buy them, you know, like a five dozen egg is almost $20 now up here.
Whoa. Well, and I was upset when they got up to three. I got upset when they got up to $3.50. You're telling me eggs in Alaska are $20 a dozen?
No, for five dozen.
Five dozen for $20. So it's $4 a dozen.
Yep.
Well, that's not much more than...
That's just one part, like our heating fuel, for instance. Like, we produce almost the most oil in the country, but we pay the highest prices when it comes to fuel. Like, heating fuel here is over $4 a gallon. And like a fan, like my family, we have like a 1,500 square foot home, and we spend about $3,000 every 2 months just to keep our house warm.
That's insane. How about electricity? Has that gone up?
Electricity has definitely gone up. Like, we used to spend about $200 a month in the winter, and this year it's costing us about $300 a month.
Keith, outside of Fairbanks, Alaska, what does a gallon of milk cost you?
Here in North Pole, a gallon of milk is about $4.
And meat? Like, if I wanted to buy a pound of hamburger ground chuck, what does that go for?
At least $10 right now. About two to 3 pounds of ground meat is about $20.
Oh, I can't even imagine what a filet mignon goes for.
Oh, man. We love steak. We can only buy it now every now and then, but a decent steak for everybody in my family, you're looking at probably almost $100 just for one meal.
When you mentioned that the shelves are empty, what products in particular in Alaska seem to be very hard to get?
Lately, eggs, milk, we always run out of those. Meat selection is very slim. Produce here is, in the winter especially, good luck finding what you want, because by the time it gets shipped here, it's either gone bad or it didn't get shipped because the lower 48 didn't have it to ship to us.
Keith Fons is a DoorDash driver in North Pole, Alaska, sharing with you and me the condition of the prices of food, gas, oil, and the shortages. And Keith, thank you very much for being on Sterling on Sunday. You go to Walmart here in the lower 48, in the freezer section, shelf after shelf, entire freezers are empty, nothing. Good luck finding frozen strawberries. My wife is obsessed with frozen strawberry shakes. You're not going to get any. If I go to the meat section at the wrong time of day at Walmart, there's no meat. If I want to get bologna for lunch, there's no bologna. Forget about Lunchables. Forget the Lunchables. That's not going to be happening. The challenge of just, you know what it's like? It's like the specials we used to see about the Soviet Union in the 60s, how communism was failing, and they'd show shelf after shelf, supermarket after supermarket with nothing, people in line to get cheese. That's what it's getting to be like here. Oh, and then, as a parting gift, you get to pay $4 a gallon for the gas to get to the store and to get home. Oh, my gosh. This is a disaster of epic proportions. It's been a fun hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. I got a phone number. It's 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. It's a big three-hour show, 3 hours every Sunday night, live. Did you hear me? Live. And I get to talk to you. My phone number is 888-688-9258, Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Love triangle over a stripper named Caitlin leads to arrest in Pensacola. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female rookie cop's unusual request for her life insurance beneficiary. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
There's fighting. There's clawing. There's face tattoos. There's vape shops. And a whole bunch of people on drugs. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Random minor joins adults for a shoplifting escapade at Walmart. The people at Walmart later... Sterling at night.
After all these years, arithmetic salvation. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week at the Drive-Thru Brew, a secret shopper came by to inspect the place, and we kind of messed up. You'll see what I mean later on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free... 888-688-WALT.
So very proud that we had Sergeant Donald Walter from the Ethical Society of Police based in St. Louis. His organization has completely condemned the horror show that took place in Memphis this week. Five cops, former cops, beat up one guy. And then, in case that wasn't enough, apparently, two firemen came by to help him, and they beat him up, too. Daisy at 888-688-9258. Daisy, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Hi there, Walter. We love you here in Maine, by the way.
Now, are you listening on WLOB Lobster Radio?
That's right.
You know, do they like, mostly talk about lobsters on WLOB? Is that what that station's about?
No, I don't think so. But I think one of them likes to eat food a lot.
Mm.
Listen, I'm calling about this cop scandal of Tennessee.
Yes.
First of all, were those five cops who beat up Mr. Nichols wearing body cameras?
Yes, you know? and we've seen the body cam.
Okay.
We've seen the video.
Okay.
And also there was a camera on a pole right near them. So they had a shot from a pole. A police cam on a pole, plus they were each wearing body cameras. And the video, I hope his family never sees it. I hope his friends never see it. It was the most horrific video I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. I'm just wondering, because, I mean, are body cameras harming cops' mental health? I mean, maybe it's a factor driving some police misconduct. And, you know, if it wasn't a personal persecution of the poor guy, and if those cops were good cops before their misconduct, then why'd they do it? Maybe an outside force affected them. Maybe the technology. You know, I mean, we can see what happened because of body cams, right? But do those cams make us safer? No. The police misconduct still happened. Those five officers did what they did. They did what they did knowing their body cams were capturing their behavior. So then, you know, the cameras don't prevent police misconduct. So, you know, I think we need a national conversation on the subject of body cameras.
No, Daisy, I disagree with you. Those cameras did not make them do that. in their sick minds, they probably thought, aha, they will see how this guy resisted. I have the proof that I needed. And thank you very much for the call, Daisy. No, we don't need a national conversation about body cams. No, no, no. Stephen, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi.
Yes. My comment is, they're talking about the culture in this nation. And I'm thinking, when you can murder an innocent, unarmed, unborn child in a womb, and that life doesn't mean nothing to you, then the life coming out isn't going to mean anything to anybody. We have a disrespect for lives. And another thing on gun control is, why are people shooting everybody? We got a six-year-old kid shot his teacher. Where does he get that mentality? Are they checking out the films being made in Hollywood, the movies, the videos, the games, the series? I mean, why would a six-year-old kid do that? I mean, there is a culture shock in this nation, and no one's looking for answers from every rock. They think.
Stephen, thank you very much for the call. I appreciate the call at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. I am so excited, as I know you will be, about the return of Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Rachel Goldstein Shabazz is our designated public radio anchor person. Rachel Goldstein Shabazz represents the best of public radio. The name of her program is The Usual Edition, and I'd like to share it with you right now.
I'm Rachel Goldstein Shabazz, and this is The Usual Edition from Public Radio. I've just completed a six-month summer sabbatical studying the spotted owls of Mallorca. Today, we explore enviable mother of three who, for the past 15 years, lives in China and sent her children to Chinese public schools while she stayed home designing dresses. No word yet from her husband.
Some parents would say, you know, get in there, be more active. And parents would say, well, I do that in my household. But when I send my children into the communities and I send them to school, I can't control everything. I can't police everything. The communities are no longer strong. They're not supporting kids and bringing them up the right way. You know, their role in it, if you will.
The Return of Rachel episode is made possible by the Green River Tourism Society. If you're going to make a podcast, remember, all mysteries are solved at Green River, Georgia. And by overextended families who wear all tweed.
Now, I would like to share with you some of my adventures from the Owl Kingdom. First, here's the sound of the Canadian owl. And now the owl from the eyeglass commercial.
You paid too much for those glasses.
Who?
You. Designer frames? Well, so are these. And these. And these.
So subtle. Owls are hysterical. And now, let's enjoy this week in review as we explore the news stories of the past 3 days.
In fact, the only kind of technology available is a small black and white TV set in their cell. And inmates only receive this TV if they demonstrate a good behavior over a long period of time. El Chapo gets to watch TV if he wants, but the prison selects the programs.
There is more news from spokeswoman Pam Anderson.
And my grandfather taught me, you know, you're not an extension of the small town. You're not an extension of your parents. You're a brand new light given to this planet to do whatever you want with.
And, of course, Lori Loughlin.
They have welcomed me with such open arms at a time when I was feeling particularly down and broken. That's how I found a home here. And that's what I feel like they did for me. And that's why I'm so proud to be here and working with this organization, because they really do care.
We, as always, on The Usual Edition, welcome music from a food processor. Remember, gold is like my name, Rachel Goldstein Shabazz. Now, the music from a food processor.
than shoot whoever I'm feeling like doing until the cops killed me if I had a gun right now. And I'm not going to tonight, but I'm going to spray that whole street when they think I'm over it. Okay, Caitlin had another guy. Apparently one of the workers at the club, probably the disc jockey. Isaac Jenkins, 23, went nuts. Police go and pick him up. They find fentanyl on him. They find meth on him. They find all sorts of stuff going on with this guy. He is going to be doing some time. Also obstructing justice and threatening to destroy a complete legitimate business escapes Gentleman's Club. From the Champagne Room, I'm Vilo Houle. For Sterling at night.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. This is a very exciting time to be with you, isn't it? I mean, it's very exciting. All right, what do I want? I want Debbie. Is that who I want? No, no. Who's on the phone? Who am I supposed to talk to? Greg, it's so confusing for me because I'm so new at this. Greg, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Yeah, we all are.
Yes,
Mr. Sterling, good evening.
Good evening.
I just wanted to, touch on Memphis slightly. The cops, there's no way you could ever explain that away. But the question I do have, they created a group of people that were given the code name of Scorpion. Then they were put out on the street to do a job, whatever the job was. It couldn't have been a simple one for sure. My question is, do we know if these people, what their tour was like that week or that month? And we could be seeing the end of the tour. Do they go through detox at any point? And the reason I ask that, I had a friend, I'm 80 years old. I grew up in Philadelphia. He was a policeman, a beat cop. They put him in Center City West. They had streets in Center City West back in the late 60s. They couldn't put a patrol car on it. It was, the situations were beyond control. He lived that every day of his tour. I watched the person change to a point that loved his job to he couldn't wait until he could get the hell out of it in a very short period of time. But my question is, these people, are they removed from the street at any time to bring them down off the high? Because that's exactly what it looked like they were going through. They were,
well,
like they were on speed.
Right. It sure didn't look like they were stoned. It looked like they were on speed. Or the interesting crowd effect that takes place where one of them started to go at the guy, and the other ones get revved up and revved up and revved up, and they participated because they saw a leader doing it, and they lost all control of their mind. Thank you very much for the call. I appreciate it. At 888-688-9258, I'm Walter M. Sterling. And it's unbelievable. Now, this is very unprofessional. Who was I talking to just now, Sean? Okay, so he has to go off the screen because it confuses me if he's still there. It confuses me more than you could ever imagine. 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. There's no amount of justification that anybody's going to come up with that would explain away the behavior of those five cops in Memphis. I don't care if they've been on a long tour of duty, a short tour of duty. I don't care if they were high on amphetamines. I don't care if they were stoned out of their mind. There's no amount of excuse that could take place that would justify that behavior. And that's what's going to happen over the next few weeks is more and more look at the video cam, more and more people look at that video. They're just going to be repulsed. They're going to be appalled. They're going to be disgusted. I would take it to the next level. I don't care that they were fired. There was a culture in the Memphis Police Department where someplace in their brains, they knew this was okay. They believed that this would be okay, and that goes right to the top. The police chief of Memphis is an admirable person, an effective executive, and an amazing public speaker. What a great public speaker she is. Ah, too bad. She should be fired. She's the boss. Everybody between her and those patrolmen should be fired because there's a culture that they established that made it okay to beat the crap out of about a 150-pound guy with Crohn's disease, a four-year-old daughter who was working with his father at Federal Express trying to make a living and a name for himself. I don't care what wacky theories they come up with. What terrifies me is that two or three of those cops are out on bail. They posted their bond. And one or two of them have already pleaded not guilty, maybe more. I didn't follow that part because I was blind with rage. Just unbelievable. It's 27 past the hour. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday. You and I can be in touch at any time. An email gets to me, waltermsterling@gmail.com. And finally, the game is over at WPHT. Thank you. Thank you. The game is over at WPHT. The longest games in the world are broadcast during my show. The rest of the week, not so much. It's very interesting that they have to put the best talent they've got on Sunday night. Now, who is my competition? Ready? The Emmys, the Oscars, the MTV Awards, the People's Choice Awards, the Foreign Press Awards. Those are my competition. Oh, and the Super Bowl and the World Series. That's who I compete with. The people on middays, who do they compete with? Good morning, Philadelphia. Good morning, Kansas City. That's who they compete with. Good morning, Kansas City. Good morning, St. Louis. Oh, look at this. There's a new bakery opening, and all they do is bake cakes in the shape of the St. Louis Arch. Oh, we'll be interviewing that owner of that bakery coming up in just seconds. Can you imagine? What a joy my life would be if that was my competition. Good morning, Sacramento. Can you imagine how easy life would be? And then if I got to scream at the Democrats for 3 hours and everybody in radio would go, hey, that's a really solid show there, Walter. That's really solid. That would be pathetic. How pathetic would that be? I think we can do better, you see, because I'm haunted by the words of the best monologuist who ever lived, a man named Gene Shepherd, who wrote A Christmas Story and narrated it. And he was asked about his one-hour radio show that he did each night, where he never talked about current events. He told stories. He told all of these stories, amazing stories about his youth. And he was asked, Gene, why don't you talk about the front page of the newspaper? Why don't you talk about today's news? Why don't you ever talk about that? And you know what he said, that son of a gun? He said, that's too easy. Thanks a lot, Gene.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
This is Vila Hula, Muskegon, Michigan. Love triangle over a stripper named Caitlin leads to arrest in Pensacola. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female rookie cop's unusual request for her life insurance beneficiary. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
There's fighting, there's biting, there's clawing, there's face tattoos, there's vape shops, and a whole bunch of people on drugs. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Random minor joins adults for a shoplifting escapade at Walmart. The people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
After all these years, arithmetic salvation. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week at the Drive-Thru Brew, a secret shopper came by to inspect the place, and we kind of messed up. You'll see what I mean later on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
Andrew, at 888-688-WALT. Andrew, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, how are you?
Well, I'm cold. I work out of my laundry room. I know a lot of morning zoos say, well, you know, we're in the laundry room. Well, I've been in the laundry room for 8 years. And do you know why I'm in the laundry room, Andrew? Do you know why?
No, but I'm excited to hear why.
Because women decide where men sit.
Very bad. That's
what bad. Can I do for you, Andrew?
And, you know, I was cruising around because that's what I like to do at night. And, you know, there's so much on my mind. There's so much, so many different options out there. You know, I could talk about a million different things with you, honestly. But I guess we'll go to the most personal. So I come from a small town in northeast Arkansas. And I realize this problem is nationwide. You know, I haven't even watched this Memphis deal yet just because I don't watch TV anymore. But the problem is nationwide, but down to a local level, here's my problem. I'm a father who cares more about his three kids than he does anything else, you know, and I single-handedly witnessed the local government, the state government, fail me time and time again. When I was attempting to get my kids back and get custody of my kids back. And so I've headbutted them so much, you know, representing myself pro se, and you know, I have the knowledge that I can do anything I want to. I mean, I could literally do anything I wanted to do. And so I've started representing myself, and I've noticed that even with 100% accurate knowledge of the law and what I'm able and not able to do, I still am in a no-win situation. There's no way I'm going to win against the judges who are just lawyers in black capes. And there's no way that a friend of mine has, you know, said it best than I. He said, "You're one person. What can you do?" Well, everything starts with one person. You know, Martin Luther King, I didn't start with him, but he was one person. You know, it's always been one person that got things started. So I think, you know, the Lord could come right now, and he could come in 80 years, you know, but I think this is our opportunity to show him, you know, are we going to come together as a nation, as a people, or are we going to continue to fall apart and let the nation go to crap?
Andrew, thank you very much for your call. I hope you get custody of your three kids because you clearly love them. And I have three daughters, and I can't imagine the hell of having to fight with another adult over custody of the kids. I hope you win, Andrew. Linda, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. The number is 888-688-WALT. Hello, Linda.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Why do you say that? Wait, stop. Why do people say that? It's my job to take your call. The correct response is, thank you for calling, Linda. Thank you for giving me a job.
Okay. Well, I'm going to add to your job the policeman. Some things that I have read, the worst thing you can do if you're stopped by the police is not follow what they're asking you to do, and trying to run away only heightens their frustration towards you. It's sad that he couldn't just do what they were asking.
Well, Linda, the deal is this. He may have been doing what they were asking, and then they may have started to hit him. And then he probably picked up at that point and started to run like anybody with any common sense. And thank you for the call, Linda. It doesn't matter what that guy did in Memphis. It doesn't matter what he did. Five cops who were twice his size, each of them was twice his size, beat him up until he died. I don't care what he did. He was unarmed, so whatever he was doing was not a big deal. He was not of a physical stature and size to be a threat to any of those trained huge cops. They were huge guys. And so he ran. Anytime I hear people say, well, you know, he, not just with this, but in general, anytime anybody says, well, you know, they resisted arrest, my first response is always, yeah, resisting arrest, that sounds like a good idea, because the end of an arrest never turns out well. He resisted arrest. I don't know. I think that's sometimes okay. Just my opinion. 888-688-9258. It is cold tonight. You and I are in the 18-wheeler driving across the country, driving on Route 80, trying to get to Iowa 80, the largest truck stop in the world. Beautiful truck stop. I think the person who owns Iowa 80 is going to be a guest on the show soon. I hope so. I want to ask them what sells the most, because there are certain things that only exist in truck stops. The only place I can get the variety of crackers, peanut butter and jelly crackers, cream cheese and jelly crackers, they only seem to exist at truck stops. What I don't understand, have never understood about a truck stop, is why do they sell CB radios there? I don't think there's anybody there to install them. They're very expensive at a truck stop. You go to Best Buy. You go to an electronics store where somebody can install it properly and get it at a reasonable price. You could get it at Facebook Marketplace, and it's just fine. That's always the puzzle to me about truck stops. But they're getting fancier and fancier. And I have to tell you, I love truck stops. I love to go there and sit and look around. And I always feel imposed upon when there's anybody in the car who wants me to leave. To me, it's a great joy to go to a truck stop. Now, mind you, I've never dined at a truck stop. Always the dining area looks a little dicey to me. Even if it's a chain there, that always looks a little dicey to me. A little nervous about that. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. The other big news this week is the astonishing event that took place with Britney Spears. Britney Spears did something that was crazy.
As everyone knows, the police were called to my home based on some prank phone calls. I love and adore my fans, but this time things went a little too far and my privacy was invaded. The police never entered my home, and when they came to the gate, they quickly realized there was no issue and left immediately. This felt like I was being gaslit and bullied. Once the incident made it to the news, being betrayed once again in a poor and unfair light by the media. During this time in my life, I truly hope the public and my fans, who I care about so much, can respect my privacy moving forward.
What Britney Spears did as a result of the police visiting her home, what she did next, is what made news. And I'll share that with you in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. This is Sterling on Sunday.
This one has a vape shop. Okay, that doesn't sound like the most classy of neighborhoods, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. However, a Florida man goes into the gas station, walks over to the other side of the shop where the vape stuff is, jumps over the counter, and starts ransacking the place. He's just knocking stuff off the counters and smashing the glass cases. Doesn't even steal anything. He just wrecks shop, and people call the cops. As he's walking out the door, it's about the time the cops are showing up. So he goes ahead and jumps into his or someone's black Nissan Altima and drives off. Two cops dive out the way and they literally just lose the guy. Well, 30 minutes later, not even a mile away from the gas station slash vape shop, there's another cop who sees the car they're looking for, the black Nissan Altima. And it's at an intersection. Is it the right guy? Oh, I don't know. You mean the black Nissan Altima with the driver who has the car in park on top of it dancing? He's dancing on the roof of the car on the outside at a red light. He goes to a different gas station. Now he's at a 7-Eleven. And when he comes out, there's four cops. So they tase him. He goes down, but he still fights. They sick the dog on him. He still fights. The dog's not even doing it. It's not even phasing him. It takes the dog and all four officers to finally get him in handcuffs. And they noticed about then that when he parked at the 7-Eleven, he had driven into the 7-Eleven and ruined some of the brick there. The story's hilarious because it says they suspect, you know, drugs are involved. Oh, really? Is that what you suspect? You suspect drugs might be involved? But after all I've told you, you end up with this beautiful one. This is just a Florida classic headline. It says, Florida man hits cop with car, bites another, dances in the middle of traffic before wild arrest. Oh, yeah, that's right. He bit one of them, too. Yeah, there was so much fun stuff going on there. I forgot to mention that part. Jesus. So what were you doing on a Thursday?
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Stay tuned. Part two of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
The cops show up at Britney Spears' home. And the reason they did, well, I'll let her tell you.
As everyone knows, the police were called to my home based on some prank phone calls. I love and adore my fans, but this time, things went a little too far and my privacy was invaded. The police never entered my home, and when they came to the gate, they quickly realized there was no issue and left immediately. This felt like I was being gaslit and bullied. Once the incident made it to the news, being portrayed once again in a poor and unfair light by the media. During this time in my life, I truly hope the public and my fans, who I care about so much, can respect my privacy moving forward.
Well, as a result of the police showing up at her home, what did she do? She pulled down her Instagram account. Oh, my gosh, this was national news. That's what brought this to be news. Britney Spears closed her Instagram account, and I think it's still closed. This has caused a tremendous amount of consternation. That's an SAT word, consternation. No, I can't spell it. But she pulled down her Instagram account. Now, that hit the Daily Mail and the New York Post and other prestigious publications. If you or I shut our Instagram account, what would happen? Would it hit the local news, the national news, the international news? Would it hit the news if we shut our Instagram account? No. Nobody would notice. But when Britney Spears shuts her Instagram account, oh boy, that's news. Worthy of your attention. Then, Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles have broken up. And the photos in the Daily Mail, the finest newspaper in the world, the photos in the Daily Mail show Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde, who created children together and were engaged for 80 years, hugging and making up. Well, I have a lot of original audio about Olivia Wilde in this event. But let me just say this ahead of time. Jason Sudeikis would be an idiot to take her back, even if they have kids together. He'd be an idiot. This is a woman who was married before. Then she was engaged for 8 years. Exactly what do you have to learn in 8 years that you don't know after 1 year? Oh, they had to make kids together. Those poor kids. Everything was fine when they lived in Brooklyn. When they moved to L.A., everything fell apart because, oh, there's Harry Styles, who supposedly has a giant snake. He has a giant snake that Olivia wanted. And she had a movie to promote. And she was his boss. And she was 400 years older than Harry Styles. All of this was very exciting. And they had a nanny. Now, the nanny for Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde's kids reveals all. Somehow or another, these two idiots did not get her to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So she's yakking away and talking about what it was like with Olivia and Jason Sudeikis and how difficult. You got to hear it. I've got that for you coming up in seconds. Plus, CONET signals. You know what CONET signals are? CONET signals are these mysterious radio stations around the globe on shortwave frequencies that put out very spooky broadcasts. The spookiest one, however, is a Russian-based one that seems to be coming somewhere south of Moscow. And I will reveal that for you coming up in just seconds. You and I will get to listen to this because it's the spookiest thing you could listen to while driving an 18-wheeler in the dead of night on Route 80 or I-70, which is just a terrifying road anyway. I-70 is like this deserted highway. The tolls have been taken down. The even more amazing, the rest stops have been closed. And it's desolate. It is 20 degrees below in July. It is the most desolate road in America, I-70. Don't even think about going there. The people who live there between Cleveland and Syracuse, well, just to think about that. Just think about Cleveland and Syracuse, the two worst things about America, Cleveland and Syracuse. They refer to that road as the Luge. I want to talk to you. Our phone lines are always open at 888-688-9258. I am live. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female rookie cop's unusual request for her life insurance beneficiary. Coming up in moments on Sterling on Sunday.
There's fighting, there's biting, there's clawing, there's face tattoos, there's vape shops, and a whole bunch of people on drugs. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Random minor joins adults for a shoplifting escapade at Walmart. The people at Walmart later, Sterling at night.
After all these years, arithmetic salvation. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week at the Drive-Thru Brew, a secret shopper came by to inspect the place, and we kind of messed up. You'll see what I mean later on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688 WALT.
Well, everybody's very excited to be with Sterling on Sunday because we're live. There's no other show live at this time. You think the Bitcoin show is live? You think the Retirement and You show is live? It's not. 8 minutes past the hour. Oh, 9 minutes past the hour. I'm Walter M. Sterling. Tony, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. 888-688-9258. Hello, Tony.
Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Well, I am in the Midwest. It is 40 mm-hmm. degrees below. My big challenge wow. today was getting the defreezer, the de-icer fluid into my car. And that constitutes a sport in the Midwest. That constitutes a sport to get the de-icer into your car before the next wave of Arctic blast comes by. I'm waiting for the global warming. I'm praying for the global warming. And how are you, Tony?
Not anticipating global warming, but I did learn something, and maybe you've had this experience with they have the special windshield washer fluid with, I think it has an antifreeze in it because yes. it and what it does for me is, yeah, it doesn't freeze, but it also smears my windows. Have you ever had that experience?
Well, now that's very useful because for the first time ever this week, I bought the de-icer stuff, the purple yeah. stuff, not the blue stuff. And
right.
I have not used it yet, but this is very fair warning. This is right up there with what to do when the engine light goes on, what to do when right. Your mother-in-law threatens to come over. These are very important things. Thank you for that information. Do you have anything else for us, Tony?
Yeah, I was going to talk about the police encounter, the beating of Tyre Nichols.
Yes, in Memphis, five cops beat up a guy who weighed about 104 pounds with Crohn's disease, a four-year-old daughter, was working at FedEx with his father, and his hobby was photographing sunsets. This is the guy who got beat up, Tony, in Memphis, the
yeah,
most racist city in America.
I understand he was also a skateboarder. Well, doesn't sound like he was an arch criminal, of course.
No.
And, you know, a lot of people are trying to make it a race issue. But I think the more important issue is we need to know why all five of these police officers, why were they so poorly trained, and why were they so triggered? You know, that I think that is the most important thing. You know, five officers out of one department, that's not too good a ratio, you know?
I disagree, Tony.
Okay.
And the reason I disagree is because I don't care why they were triggered. I don't care how they were trained. Anybody who has a mother and hopefully a father knows that you don't beat somebody senseless if they are unarmed, have no record, and the greatest threat that they pose to you is that they were going to run away from you. That was the big threat, that they were running. The guy was, it was a traffic stop. He wasn't stopped for cause. He wasn't stopped on a first offense. He was stopped because he was driving funny, because these five idiots were at the end of a shift. They hadn't arrested anybody in weeks. Their record was looking poor. That's what it was, Tony, that these guys were not performing to the standards of the department in terms of how many tickets they gave out and how many times they arrested anybody. They needed to show something. They needed to bring home a totem. And they killed this guy, Tony. Now, what else is going on? Because I like you.
Well,
I'll let you say something else.
Well, I agree they are idiots. And I agree that, you know, that's the biggest problem. I mean, you know, and I'm certainly not justifying what they did, you know. But, you know, this stuff happens way too often. I mean, some people say, oh, it doesn't happen, you know, compared to the other million cases a year that go, you know, perfectly fine and everybody gets away unscathed. But one of these incidents is too many.
I agree. Thank you very much for your call. The sad thing is that most cops are either okay or great or heroic. And maybe you're sitting there thinking, I know some good cops. Some cops did some good things for me. I wish we could hear about that. I want to hear about that. Let me share a quick story. I lived in Manhattan most of my life. And one Saturday morning, about noon, I get a knock on the door, the third floor of a three-story walk-up. I get a knock on the door. I open it, and it's a cop. I open the door, and I'm scared because cops don't come to the top floor of a third-story walk-up. He looks at me, and he says, you know, your building's on fire. Didn't you see the fire engines? Didn't you hear the fire engines? Haven't you heard the commotion outside? I'm like, no, I was asleep. Well, the building next to us was on fire. It was a pretty bad fire. And we would have been in great danger if I had stayed there another 10 minutes. But this cop came up and he made sure we got out. And I am grateful for that. And then, having lived through 9/11 in Manhattan, I saw heroics by the New York City police every single minute. What they had to go through to keep people safe and to keep people calm was astonishing. Cops do great things. And it's too bad that these guys weren't cops. As Donald Walter of the Ethical Society of St. Louis says, he says, no, the minute they behaved like that, they were no longer police officers. They were thugs. They were violent, dangerous people. And he's right. Now, coming up, I've got an amazing piece of audio. Have you heard of CONET stations? CONET stations are these rogue pirate radio stations around the world that put out spooky, scary signals. And no one really knows where they are, or what they do. Some people say they're spy stations. Some people say that they were turned on 50 years ago and have been left on, like on Lost. They're fascinating. But the spookiest one ever appears to be originating about 40 miles south of Moscow. It is a Russian secret station. And for years, there was nothing on it except spooky music. And then it started speaking. And I'll share those recordings with you coming up in just seconds. It's the Midnight Misfit time. You are a Midnight Misfit, because who the heck else would listen to the radio right now except people who don't fit in? This is not normal behavior. I don't see the big talent working at this time. No, they needed a superstar to work at this time to hold your attention as you drove across Route 80 in your 18-wheeler, up and down I-4 in Florida, up and down the 5 in California, the 101. This is the time of day to be on the radio. I love being on the radio at this time because it's just us. It's just you and me. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I don't want to have sex. You're my wife, for God's sake.
There's a very spooky... We did the Al Bundy thing twice. Why don't they rotate properly? There are 20 of those. Why don't they rotate properly? That's my project for the week. 21 past the hour. Around the globe, on shortwave, there are secret radio stations known as CONET, C-O-N-E-T, CONET stations, that send out very spooky messages and no explanation. There's debate about what they're for, who originates them, what the messaging means, but the spookiest one of all is one that seems to be originating about 40 miles south of Moscow, and for years just put out unintelligible messaging. Recently, it started actually speaking. Listen to this.
No one knows for sure what is being heard when tuned into radio frequency 4625 kilohertz. Secret coded messages sent across airwaves between governments and spies. A doomsday signal ready to sound the alarm of the apocalypse. Or a mysterious transmission tuned to interact with the ionosphere. Known to be of Russian origin, though this has never been confirmed by the Russian government. The signal was a continuous broadcast of repeated pip that has since become an unsettling, looping, and buzzing tone. For decades, the source of the broadcast was entirely unknown, until suddenly and unexpectedly, the first spoken words on the station identified it as UVB-76, broadcast from a military bunker in Povarovo, a small town 19 miles outside of Moscow. This interruption was soon followed by new, strange, and unsettling additions. Rustling of someone moving around nearby, a harsh voice reading a series of names and numbers, and faintly sinister music playing in the background. The ghost station was first documented and recorded in 1982, but is thought to have been in operation as early as 1976. The looping sounds broadcast over the frequency were originally a pair of pips in quick succession. However, in 1990, the sound changed to a buzzing tone, leading to the station's popular nickname, the Buzzer. The tones sound at approximately 25 instances per minute, and with few notable exceptions, have continued 24 hours a day without interruption since the station was first detected. On Christmas Eve, 1997, the first documented vocal transmission over frequency 4625 interrupted the buzzing tone. A Russian voice read a message over the air. The station returned to broadcasting the buzzes, but it had also given itself a name, UVB-76. Though the frequency of the tone has changed, sped up, or slowed down over the years, vocal transmission and abnormalities of any other sort were rare on UVB-76 following that first message in 1997. Another clue to the transmitter's setup came on November 3rd, 2001, when the station picked up what seemed to be a snippet of conversation between two people in Russian. This translated to, quote, "I am 143, not receiving the generator." Quote, "That stuff comes from the hardware room." This overheard dialogue seemingly confirmed one of two popular theories, that the buzzing tones were not internal and pre-recorded, but an amplified sound, captured by an always-live microphone placed nearby. That, or another microphone in the area, had accidentally been left on. A handful of shortwave radio enthusiasts have continued to tune into the station, eager to claw away at the mysteries behind the looping tones. On June 5th, 2010, the station went silent, a break in the station's pattern. The buzzing ceased, without explanation. After approximately 24 hours of radio silence, The buzzes resumed as normal. That same month, Estonian engineer and shortwave user Andres Aslade created an internet station that broadcasted the UVB-76 signal. This online stream brought in listeners from around the world, new ears that arrived at a transformative time in the station's history. On August 25th, the buzzing ceased again, followed by the overheard sounds of knocking, shuffling, and footsteps. Aberrations continued into early September, as listeners noticed the buzzes being interrupted with recorded snippets of music, specifically Dance of the Little Swans, from Russian composer Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake. On September 7th, a more dramatic, substantial change occurred, beginning with another voice message that seemed to announce the station's new call letters, Mikhail Dmitry Zhenya Boris, or MDZHB, followed by another long series of numbers and letters, a send-off message to the former call letters, UVB-76. On November 10th, now operating as MDZHB, another overheard conversation was broadcast, this identified as a phone call. A male voice mentions, quote, the brigade officer on duty, the communication code debut, and the name Nadezhda. A female voice replies, officer on duty of communication node debut, Senior Ensign Uspenskaya, got the control call from Nadezhda okay. The conversation was longer than any other recorded on the station to that point, and its purpose, and the station's purpose, remained obscured. Though many have mulled over the meaning behind the mysterious ghost station, one of the leading theories was that it was some kind of number station, transmitting messages in secret.
I love those stories. I love the stories about the Conet stations. It's pretty cool. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles won 31 over 7 to the 49ers, and the Kansas City Chiefs 23 to 20. Our two biggest stations, WPHT in Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Eagles won 31 to 7. And Kansas City, KMBZ, the Chiefs won 23-20 over the Bengals. This was a very big deal, especially if you'd put a lot of money on it. Now, I know you didn't do that, but if you did put a lot of money on it, it's a very big deal. Coming up in just seconds, you and I are going to talk about the shocking news. Who would have ever guessed that Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles would break up? No reason to have ever suspected it. Olivia had two young children by a man she was engaged to, and I know that's exactly what Harry Styles wanted to step into. He wanted to step into a family that already existed. There he was, 28. Olivia was 80, and she had two young kids. Of course, that's what Harry Styles would want. Why would he want to go on tour and have every hot girl in the world at his feet? Why would he want that when he could have a recently engaged woman who had two young children and who had been married for 8 years before? Makes perfect sense to me. But I have an astonishing piece of audio from Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde's nanny discussing the intimate details of their relationship, because you and I are midnight misfits. We don't belong. We get to work when the vending machine is empty. There's only a bear claw in the bottom and that green Wrigley's gum that we don't want. That's when we come to work. You and I are in this together, my friend. Walter Sterling, this is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, tonight.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female rookie cop's unusual request for her life insurance beneficiary. Coming up in moments, on Sterling on Sunday.
This is Muskegon, Michigan's own Velo Hool. Random minor joins adults for a shoplifting escapade at Walmart. The people of Walmart later, Sterling at night.
After all these years, arithmetic salvation. Hi, I'm Brad, the old-fashioned talk show host. Details coming up on Sterling on Sunday.
This week at the Drive-Thru Brew, a secret shopper came by to inspect the place, and we kind of messed up. You'll see what I mean later on Sterling on Sunday.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free, 888-688-WALT.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Stories. Our next Florida story is Cocoa. And in Cocoa, Florida, there is an 80-year-old woman. And this 80-year-old Florida woman lives with one of her sons. He's 53. And for the last month now, the 80-year-old Florida woman's son has refused to let anyone come visit her. And it's starting to get suspicious. What do you mean? She can't even talk on the phone? Oh, she's asleep. Well, go wake her up. I'm not going to wake her up just so she can talk on the phone. Well, I haven't talked to her in like 3 weeks, and this is the longest I've ever gone without talking to Nana. Something's going on. You're going to tell me. So eventually they do a welfare check, and the police show up, and it's every bit as bad as you would suspect. Nana is dead. What we have here is a Florida man who has been living with his dead mother, his dead 80-year-old mother. That is so disgusting. Like, I don't want to live with my mom right now, and she's alive. I can't imagine if she was in the other bedroom slowly rotting. By the way, in case you're thinking of doing this, this is illegal in Florida. It says he's going to be charged with failure to report a death and neglect of an elderly person. And also, I hear he's been uninvited to Christmas and Thanksgiving and basically everything for that.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Thank you for our next Florida story. We're going to head on over to a place that has made it on Florida Story quite a bit, Lee County, Florida. This Florida man, 23 years old, and his face is already covered in tattoos. It's a little bitty white guy. He looks very elvish. Not Elvis Presley, but elf, like elves. He was seen punching this dog. People call the cops. The cops are tracking down pretty easily because in Lee County, Florida, there's not a whole lot of people, as weird as Florida is, that are this recognizable. Yeah, the guy with the scraggly ginger beard, weighs 120 pounds, face looks like the graffiti behind the 7-Eleven. So they find him, take him to jail. He gets 36 months. He gets 3 years.
Wait, Hold my beer.
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Subscribe to the Florida Stories podcast and get past episodes at waltersterlingshow.com. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I'm J.J. Wilson with the latest edition of Drive-Thru Brew. Now, in tonight's riveting drama, the manager learns that a secret shopper, a.k.a. corporate spy, will soon arrive to inspect the drive-thru's restrooms. Let's listen.
Okay, thanks. We'll be ready. Jake, heads up. I just got a tip from a friend at headquarters. A secret shopper is on her way over here to check us out. And word is she's a stickler for clean restrooms, toilets, sinks, trash cans, everything.
No sweat. I just cleaned the bathrooms yesterday.
Well, we gotta do them again. Let's go.
What's this person look like?
She's short with brown hair, and she's kind of chunky.
Exactly 35 minutes later, a woman with brown hair showed up.
Gentlemen, bring me a case of root beer. And, mind if I use your restroom?
Of course not. Right over there.
10 minutes later, when the woman returned to her car...
So, how was everything?
Excuse me?
In the restroom, did everything go okay?
What are you, some kind of pervert?
I mean, everything passed satisfactorily? No problems of any kind?
What's your name, mister?
Aren't you our secret shopper?
No, but I happen to be a plainclothes cop, and I'm going to keep an eye on you two.
Ouch. Not good. But listen next time when the real secret shopper arrives and says,
"Hi, I'm new in town, and I happen to have OCPD. Mind if I check for dust on your fire extinguisher?"
That's next time on Drive Thru Brew. Word Car speaking.
Well, now this Olivia Wilde. This Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles broke up. And she already had two kids with Jason Sudeikis. Now, you got to get this whole story here.
I would run errands, prepare dinner.
This is their name.
I have everything going on for the kids, read books. They praise me constantly.
What was the first indication that there was problems?
I walked upstairs and Jason was bawling his heart out. He was crying really hard and saying, "She left us. I'm going to do everything to win her back."
How did Jason know that she was having an affair with Harry?
He was reading all of her messages. She said, "I kissed Harry at the dinner in Palm Springs. I kissed him. I put the first move on him. And I'm so nervous because he hasn't said anything." At this point, Jason said, "You know what? She's just acting so desperate, throwing herself at Harry." He's walking around with a bat. He had a bat. And he's like pulling on his hair and he was yelling. And she took her salad dressing, her special salad dressing, and she left. He ran after her and he laid down behind her car so she wouldn't drive off. Jason told me, "If you say anything about this, this is all going to backfire in your face." I literally was trembling because I thought that at this point, Jason is just so erratic and angry. He's grieving. She's happy as can be. You know, she's glad to be gone.
So she's in love with somebody else.
She's in love with somebody else. She's feeling this infatuation.
Jason Sudeikis and Olivia Wilde have previously said the nanny's allegations are not true.
Well, they sound true to me. Don't they sound true to you? Now, there's more about this horrible story. Here's some more.
Custody battles on stage. As Olivia and Harry's relationship progressed with vacations in Italy and supporting each other, sources confirmed that Harry and Olivia's kids got along well. Harry is slowly getting to know her kids, a source told People magazine in August 2021. Olivia is also spending time with Harry's mom, but their relationship was far from paradise. While on stage presenting Don't Worry Darling to theater exhibitors at a CinemaCon event in April 2022, Olivia Wilde was given a manila envelope by a woman and it contained legal papers regarding her custody dispute over the two children she shares with Jason Sudeikis. It was completely embarrassing. And the secondhand embarrassment gets even worse when you think about how she had to hold on to the envelope while completing her speech. It was so bad that some people felt sorry for her to go through that, but other people were looking at it from a different view. One comment on YouTube reads, "Nothing impressive of her for carrying on with the presentation." If she was served the papers in such a manner, it really means she's been avoiding the server all along. She shouldn't have to be that hard to reach to begin with, in regards to legal papers.
Why not? Why should she be hard to reach to be served? I've never understood that. She shouldn't have to be served. She shouldn't have to be available to be served. More about Olivia Wilde and Harry Styles coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling, and you and I can stay in touch at all times. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. That's my email, and every email I get gets answered. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. And I have a spectacular website, Walter Sterling Show. Thank you, Lee Harris. Thank you, James Copeland. WalterSterlingShow.com. Everything you want to know about the show is right there, plus a link to our podcast. And our podcast is called Midnight Misfits. And that's what you are. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of the judge.
I like 10 million people to hear that you've done something stupid. That's my joy in life.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter. On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of a female cop that had an unusual request when it came to her beneficiary. So the one thing the NYPD has is character. And when you have a police department with over 35,000 members, it's safe to say you're going to have a couple of unusual ones in the mix. Every precinct or specialized unit has a couple of guys or gals who have done something out of the ordinary. The NYPD was once headed by a colorful police commissioner, rumored to have urinated out of a flying helicopter. Hollywood scriptwriters couldn't conjure up the characters or incidents that occur inside the NYPD over the course of the years. They should, considering the number of crappy movies and television shows that have come out over the last couple of years. Hopefully they give me a call because I got plenty of stories. The day after graduation from the police academy, I had orientation. So I'm sitting in this auditorium with 100 other rookie cops, and we don't know what the hell we're doing. And they've got everybody from internal affairs to the chief of the Bronx telling us how it is. So while we're sitting there, our last speaker is the PBA delegate. Now, this guy looked like somebody out of Soprano Central Casting. He's got jet black slicked hair. He's in his mid-40s. He's wearing like a $300 camel hair coat. He's got this cigar in his hand that he's pointing around like a laser pointer. And he's just telling us to stay out of trouble. And he's talking about insurance policies and all union stuff. And you could tell he's just looking at his watch. He can't wait to get the hell out of there. So when he finally finishes up, he looks around the auditorium and he asks, "So is there any questions?" And the way he said it, he didn't want any questions. So just as he's about to get up and leave, this attractive blonde-haired, blue-eyed female cop raises her hand in the back of the auditorium. So somebody gives him a nudge. He goes, "Oh." So he goes back over to the microphone. He goes, "Yes." And she says, I got a question about beneficiary information. So he goes, "Yeah." And she says, "Well," she says, "I want to leave everything, and God forbid I get killed, I want to leave it to a horse." So, I mean, you could have heard a pin drop for a second, and then everybody burst out laughing. So he says, yeah, good one. And he starts putting his briefcase together, and she goes, "No, I'm serious. I have a horse in upstate New York, and if God forbid something happens to me, I want to leave it to my horse." So he dismissed everybody and pulled her aside for a couple of minutes, and she was serious. She wasn't pulling his leg. And the funny thing is, later on, I worked in the same precinct as this female cop, and she was there a couple of months. And sure enough, she left and went to the mounted unit where she spent the rest of her career. So I guess she really was into horses. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD Through the Looking Glass, Stories from Inside America's Largest Police Department.
Taija Rambert, Cosone Javon Del Graham, both 23 years old and a child. A missing child from Georgia. We're in the beautiful Mount Pleasant, South Carolina Walmart on Sunday night, and they got through without paying their credit card, quote unquote, declined. They kept going anyways. They get to their car, a beautiful Chrysler sedan, load up a TV and a lot of baby formula. The police arrive. They say, "Hey, we need to see your receipt." Ms. Rambert says, "Oh, the receipt's in my purse." Eh, that's what women say, don't they? And so the officer says, "Can I see it?" "No." They pull out a receipt, doesn't have that. They get arrested, they get busted. Footage shows the three suspects walking towards the exit of the building before an employee asked for a receipt, and all three suspects and then exited the store. Police searched the vehicle, found the baby formula, a teething tool that wasn't purchased, a bottle of apple juice, and of course that TV. Graham and Rambert both charged with shoplifting and contributing to the delinquency of a minor. No charges for the juvenile. Looks like he was just along for the ride. Or she. We don't know. One of the great mysteries of life. Never know what you're going to see at the Walmart. It's always fun. For the people at Walmart, this is Vila Hool for Sterling at Night.
All right. Now, a couple weeks ago, I shared with you the fact that my 17-year-old daughter was in a car accident. She was the passenger. And I asked you what she should do. She didn't want to go to a lawyer. She didn't want to file any papers. She didn't want to do anything. And I'm like, well, I wasn't sure because it had just happened. And I wanted to respect her wishes. Every single one of you called and said, you must get a lawyer. You must file against the driver's insurance company. And you have to do it to protect your daughter. Because she had a concussion. She had serious injury to her leg and trauma. Well, it turns out the trauma was significant in that as of now, she's afraid to ride as a passenger in anyone else's car. She's afraid to be a passenger in a car. And I suspect other trauma from the concussion will roll out. And besides, I'm the dad, and you all were very clear. You have to be the dad. That's what you all told me in no uncertain terms. Be the dad. I have been the dad. We got her the best lawyer possible. And he works on a contingency. And now she's being assessed by a mental health professional, physical therapist, her pediatrician. They're all working together to find out exactly the extent of her injuries. And I want to thank you for telling me to do that, because we have a great team for my daughter. And she will be cared for a long time, because she's a ballerina and she can barely walk. She's lost a great deal of work. She's lost a great deal of school, all because of this accident. This was a serious accident. The airbags came out. That's how they always tell us. Well, did the airbags come out? Yeah, the airbags came out. Car slammed into a phone pole. And there were angels, because the minute it happened, two young men driving by in a car saw it happen. And they got out of the car, and they took my daughter, and they took the driver out of the accident, called the police, stayed with them until the ambulance showed up. So we have many blessings. My friend, the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday.
All right. Right. Stay bright.